listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, getting visited by aliens for some fucking reason. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul back. I'm going to disclose a little bit on this day that I still like Steven Spielberg.
That was a stretch and a half, but sure, let's go with that.
Let's roll with that one. I was trying to come up with something witty, and that's all I got.
We are going to be discussing Disclosure Day, which thankfully finally showed up at a theater near me so we could watch it, even though I kinda didn't want to. I saw the trailers for this, and besides the clicking noise that it actually really isn't that pleasant in the movie, but in the trailer they overplay a lot. Emily Blunt's character makes it when she's like getting the alien language pumped into her head or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. That bothered me alone. It was like nails on the chalkboard. But the rest of the movie, the plot just didn't look like something I was going to enjoy. But it's Spielberg, and you wanted to see it, so, I mean, I don't get to pick all the content on this podcast. This is a partnership here. So, yes. Disclosure Day it was, and I hated it.
I am not surprised. There are some weird things about the movie. Overall, I would say some. I'm going to get into them. We're going to get into them. I know. But like overall for me, what I liked about it was it just felt like a classic Spielberg movie. A continuation of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, one of his most famous films back in the day. But it's not. It's a standalone thing. I don't know if we're going to get a sequel. We'll see. Whatever. But it just felt classic Spielberg to me. Some of the shots and stuff felt very much like how he shoots movies. It really felt like it was like a movie that he really wanted to make, and I am sad that you didn't like it as much as I did, but I understand why you didn't, because I mean, at the end of the day, did I enjoy the movie for who made it? Yes. Is the movie full of plot holes and weird shit? Absolutely. Yeah. And one of them bothered me severely the more I thought about it, and we'll get into that
later. We'll get into that.
But overall, not bad. Before we continue on into this, you know, spirited debate here, we want to take a moment this week to thank our sponsor, Delos Inc. The world can be a dark, dangerous place. Violence and crime can be around every corner. You never know who you can trust, what might be lurking ahead or behind you. So why not take a vacation where you can experience all of that, but for fun? Delos Inc. has just the place for you. A whole world filled with dangers and delights. Be whoever you want to be, white hat, black hat, and then you'll never want to go home if you make it out alive. Delos Inc. Experience the possibilities. Thank you this week to our sponsor.
Disclosure Day is about two people whose names I've already forgotten. One of them's Emily Blunt, and the other dude is Daniel something?
Daniel is Margaret. Margaret's her name.
Daniel and Emily Blunt. So, yes. Although I'm going to admit, neither of them were very good in this movie, and we're going to get to that. But,
sure.
So Daniel, in an opening sequence, and I said this in my article about this, in an opening sequence that I swore was going to be like a fake movie within a movie because of how overwrought and overacted it was. Wow, Daniel is blackmailed, sort of, by a corporation, kind of. It's all very not explained at the very start, which is fine. I don't need things explained immediately as long as we get the pieces of the story down the road. But sort of blackmailed by a sort of governmental corporation into bringing back things that, as we eventually learn, he stole from them. They kidnapped his girlfriend Jane, and which Daniel and Jane are some of the most generic names I've heard in a movie. But he somehow, with an alien device that he also stole, is able to like threaten everyone and escape with Jane and all the shit that he stole to take it away to a farmhouse eventually. We're glossing over a lot. Suffice it to say that Daniel knows that there is a government conspiracy to hide the fact that aliens exist from the world. And this governmental pseudo-corporation thing is using this tech for their own benefit, but feels, for some reason, and this is one of my issues with it that we'll get to, that humanity can't know, or that somehow the aliens are dangerous and humanity shouldn't know, or something. Meanwhile, while Daniel is doing this, Emily Blunt, who is a weather girl for KCEX in Kansas City,
well remembered.
Thank you. She sees a cardinal, and then suddenly she starts speaking other languages and knowing what's going on in everyone's life that she meets, and then she starts making clicky alien language when she's on air. Apparently, she's become a conduit for something. And she, knows that she needs to meet up with Daniel, and then Daniel's handlers tell him that he needs to get to KCEX where she is, sort of. Mm-hmm. And they'll meet in the middle and then have an alien adventure while government people chase them. And it's all very basic and very dumb.
It is very basic, but I mean, there's something to be said about a simplicity in a plot, I think, too. When you have just like bad government guys chasing other government guy, being rescued by third government guy with the whole thing involved. It's understandable at the very least. Now, the content and how we get there, to your point, may not be as understandable because we get drips and drops throughout the whole movie.
Sort of. Except for like, but there's like two key scenes where the movie just literally has to stop and tell us the plot and show us video clips of the plot. And at that very moment, I'm like, guys, you cut, like, you weren't doing great, but you were kind of doing okay, like just kind of letting us insert into like an active set piece as it's happening and not over explaining. But then every once in a while, you just have to stop and explain to us. And that means that your story is too convoluted to work within the bounds of the style of movie that you've set up.
Which is very interesting to point out because it's a very simple plot.
It is.
At a toll, right? Like, government keeping something from the people. How relatable is that? Everybody can relate to that in some way, you know, whether you're a conspiracy theorist or you just hear people talking about it, like government out to get you. Like, this literally puts it to the front. And what bigger possible thing can you hide from everybody than the fact that we're not alone? I mean, I get it. You want to start talking about some of the plot holes. So Wardex, this corporation, right?
That is the evil governmental thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The entity, if you will. I only saw the movie once, but it was yesterday, so some of it's fresh in my head. I could have sworn that they were saying something along the lines like when Wardex came along in 72, they took everything. Okay, so what happened to like the 30 years before that? Like, did they just kind of given to them?
Governmental files, yeah. They gave everything over to Wardex, and it was because Nixon decided to take some third-rate entertainer he was trying to show off to see the aliens. And then they were like, we can't trust the president with this anymore. Which I'm like, I'm not really certain that's your call, guys, because he's the commander-in-chief, and this is a... it's like they're trying to speed up and smooth out plot inconsistencies so we don't think about it. But right. I can't help but think about shit like that. And what it indicates to me is that this one movie is almost like a thin slice of a story that could have been much bigger. It could have been like this miniseries that spanned across six decades, really.
Yeah.
But they decided to do just this one movie that hits the end point with the climax of the story, which is fine, except that you lose 50, 60 years of storytelling up to it that you then have to very briefly summarize in like character conversations and other things when a lot of the interesting stuff happens there and all we're getting is the tail end of something that's not nearly as interesting as it should be.
It does kind of like just drop you right into the middle of it. Like, so
which
much
is fine.
Shit happened. It's fine.
It can be fine.
But a lot of shit happened up to this point, not just in like, you know, Daniel and Jane, you know, rescuing whatever goes on in the beginning of that, of the movie. But, like, they gloss over his years that they worked for him, like, eight years or whatever. And, like, all the time before that, they just kind of gloss all over this. Like, this is just the way it is. And, like, the way they did use some of the tech, I was a little confused about it. But, I mean, I get it. You know, an alien thing that gives you the ability to, like, you know, do these things. I don't want to spoil too much. But, like, I kind of got it, like... That's scary, you know, like, and I thought that, you know, Jane did a very good job in like that whole sequence where that was going on and she's trying to like, you know, figure out how to get back to normal and everything. Like, I believed a lot of that, like of what she was doing. The actress brought it there, but that was really, that and maybe the train were the only like tense parts of the movie. And like, you don't always get tense stuff in Spielberg movies. Like, you get some, the movie had a lot of just moving parts and transitioning between scenes more so than it had any kind of development of the plot, to your point.
Yes.
They expected you to know a lot and just go along with it up to that point, which I can get behind, you know, because, you know, whatever. It is definitely an interesting decision on why they would do that.
Yeah, it's this thing where the film really wants to drop you right into the action to get you going, which, and then it wants to, like, be really active and running and constantly shifting and moving, which... To Spielberg's credit, the action in the moving works great. He does phenomenal shots. That sequence where they're coming out of the opening area, going backstage from the wrestling match, and then walking downstairs and doing the whole confrontation back and forth with the bad guys and Daniel and all that. That's a one take. And it's a fabulous one take. And there are other times where Spielberg just kind of lets the camera jog and move and flow. And those are fantastic. And he still is Spielberg. He still can do action. That train set piece is fantastic. The confrontation between Jane and Colin Firth's evil leader character, who's basically just Colin Firth with a bad accent, which honestly, Emily Blunt had a bad accent as well. Those are great. Those are tense moments. When Spielberg can just let loose, it's fantastic. He does great work. He has not lost a step when it comes to directing and like cinematography and just knowing the camera. The unfortunate thing is that this is not a script that is worth his time, and I do not know why he did it.
You know, everybody's got to take a paycheck every now and again.
Spielberg. Spielberg doesn't.
He does. Maybe he really felt something about this movie, you know, that we just don't understand.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know what.
I don't know. But at least you know that, like, and you're even pointing it out, he brought his touch to the movie and the way it was done. And that at least is saying something. He could have phoned it in if it was just for a paycheck.
Yeah, I don't think Spielberg doesn't phone in. Exactly. I don't think on a bad day Spielberg phones in. He doesn't know how. He likes playing with his craft, which is fantastic. It makes what is a terrible movie at least marginally watchable. I still hated it, but I didn't hate the craft on display for it, you know?
Yeah. He is a master at his craft, for sure.
It's like, and I just watched this, and we'll probably review it at some point when you've watched it, the Super Mario Galaxy movie, which I feel really bad relating this to, but I kind of have to because I watched it in quick succession. That one is a phenomenally made movie from a technical standpoint. You go and you watch it, and you see, like, textures on everything, and all the stuff is beautifully rendered and bright and colorful and looks spot on. But there's absolutely no story that I can care for, and it's basically just characters running around from place to place while the plot sort of explains itself in the background. And honestly, Disclosure Day is the same way. This is an and-then movie. The characters go somewhere, and then they go somewhere else, and then they go somewhere else, and then the plot just kind of happens, but it doesn't make any sense. And then it all builds to a climax that is really fucking stupid. I hated the climax most of all.
I get it. I felt like it was maybe just like the last little bit of the climax, that like the ending,
the
that
titular might, disclosure that, day.
Yeah. That
it falls apart.
I knew it was coming. I'm like, oh man, I know it's, and I was mad that I was right, but I did kind of really feel that, like, when they were, you know, broadcasting out, like, call New York, get this on there, get them to pick it up. And, like, slowly they're just, like, sending it to everywhere. And I thought the actress, she had, like, no role in the movie. But then all of a sudden at the end of the movie is this actress who's doing the news in New York and is carrying for, like, 10 minutes talking about what's going on. She did really well. I thought she did. And going through the emotions I felt like you would go through.
But they weren't earned. I don't even get the emotions that she had because they weren't earned. So this is the major plot point that I have an issue with. And this is the point that we're drilling down to. This movie is obsessed with aliens and with God. And it's trying to make this huge connection between religion and aliens and how one invalidates the other. And it takes the nun that's in the movie, like, an hour and 15 minutes in to be like, they don't disqualify each other, which is something I thought in the first 5 minutes of the movie, the first time someone said something like, why is it taking everyone this long to get to this point? I don't even understand the connection. You have God, if you're religious, and that's fine, but that doesn't preclude the existence of aliens at all if you accept the fact that aliens can exist, which... I think the part that the film struggles with, and maybe this is because it was trying to be a four-point blockbuster and not something that really deeply analyzes characters and their religion and feeling out the story. It wants to have that story.
It tried.
It doesn't want to analyze it. So instead, it's like it raises these points about how the existence of aliens could, for many people, invalidate the existence of God. But it never sells that point. And then it has a nun come on who's like, doesn't do any of that. And I'm like, duh! The fuck does she know that no one else does? Because I was sitting here the whole time going that. Like, I don't know. That then, I think, is supposed to relate to the reporter at the end who's watching this footage and is, like, breaking down and having an emotional reaction. I'm sitting there going, does this relate to the God thing? Because she's not saying it, and I thought we already dismissed that, like, 45 minutes ago.
I mean, I guess that they did throw that in at the end with the reporter, where she did kind of say, like, you know, we're not alone, and now we all know that. Like, I guess they tried to get there, but, like, you're right. Like, the most brilliant person in the movie was the nun that was like, what are you talking about?
Fuck you, like, talking why, about, man? Yeah.
Like, why? She's like, do you think we're the only ones here? You crazy? Like, yeah. Look at this place. Like, yeah. It's a very simple concept.
Space and, like, is even, big. Like, space is very one big. Nun looking out going, well, you know, there's other planets. Guys, like,
yeah, I mean, think about it.
Right. Is she the only one thinking this? Come on,
just get behind some of the science of it too. Statistically, it is impossible that we're alone in this vast whatever this is.
Yeah,
you want to get into like reality of it, but like, yeah. It was nice to see the religious person be grounded into like, shut up and don't be stupid, at least for once, instead of the fanatical part of it, I guess. But like, very much confusing with the god versus, you know, alien aspect of, you know, who's the superior being, you know, if he created us in his image, then who created them or whatever. Like, I get it, but I don't know.
It's a very flat three-dimensional aspect of it, like,
yeah,
like the image of what, the image of intelligence, the image of physical, like, there are different ways that you could even interpret that, like, without getting religious about this, because I'm very much not, but there are multiple ways that you could interpret that without invalidating any particular scripture. You have to be really hardcore on one tiny viewpoint, and the movie doesn't even make that point. It's just like, oh, you know, aliens invalidate God. I'm like, why? You're raising this point. If you're going to raise this point, you've got to sell this point, and it doesn't.
It doesn't. You're very right about that. That was kind of weak, but I mean, it did give Jane a bit of a journey too, and all.
She's the only one that had one.
She is the only one that had a journey, and apparently she had quite the journey before. Apparently they had whole lives. Imagine that.
Yeah. There's a whole mini series of stories we could have told with this whole stupid idea
kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, the action was good. I enjoyed it. I thought that the plot, while it had holes, I at least could understand it. And at least where they were trying to put forth the simple aspect of government, bed, blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, at least that was simple enough to follow compared to some of the things that we've gotten over the last couple of years. But I thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. The acting, I thought, was okay. But you're right. I don't know if anybody really brought their A game. Maybe the dude Hugo did. I thought he was very good in the movie. But, I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of parts. It was a lot of speaking and just kind of on the phone. Which was, I mean,
Coleman Domingo? Yeah, no, he was great.
Yeah.
I like him and everything. He was in Euphoria, which was like got really bad by the last couple seasons, but he was always phenomenal. Coleman Domingo was great.
Yeah, he's very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, it's disappointing to see Spielberg waste his immeasurable talent, which he brought to this movie, on a film that is otherwise beneath him story wise. Like, I would have loved to have seen him tackle a version of this where the plot and the script were actually good. And I kind of have the vibe that a lot of other people are like that as well. Like, the people that want to see a Spielberg movie went the first week, which is why it made, like, $160 million. And then it had a staggering 61% drop to the second week because the Spielberg fans watched it and then went and told everyone else, well, this movie's kind of crap. Really well made, but the story's not there. So only watch it if you really want to see Spielberg. And which is why you went to see it, because you're like, Spielberg! And then, I went because you dragged me. So
you wanted to go see Toy Story 5. You're going to drag me kicking and screaming to that, I know.
But yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
I could make this one. I could make this one happen.
We'll get there eventually. We'll end up seeing Supergirl before then, because I actually want to support that movie when it comes out. So I'd really rather see Supergirl than Toy Story, but when we have a dead weekend and nothing better to watch, we'll go watch Toy Story.
Probably,
But yeah, no, I would rather have watched Toy Story than Disclosure Day, I will admit that. Because I did not think I was going to enjoy this movie, and you know what? I was right.
Spoiler alert, right? But, I mean, like, to touch a little bit more on some of the plot holes, the one that I'm sure got you, that really got me, was the whole flashback at the end of the movie. Like, I believed everything with Margaret as a child. Like, okay, this is why that happened.
Yeah.
Why the hell is the other guy there?
Yes! No, I thought that too. I had that as well. So, she was abducted by aliens when she was 10. And Daniel was 10-ish as well.
I suppose.
They saw something special in her that we think, but that's not explained. Mm-hmm. And so they must have seen something special in Daniel, but that's not explained. And then they're both on the alien ship together, spoilers, where they get whatever the aliens do to them done to them, which we barely see. And I'm like, okay, so why these two? What's the explanation? did they live close to each other, or were they just magically transported? What's mm-hmm. their connection? Is there a connection? Is there something special? None of this is explained. It's just aliens going, well, let's just take two kids.
And okay. the worst part about that to me was, like, they even say in the movie, Daniel was like, I was in college when this happened to me. And he's talking about how he doesn't have memories of when he was a child. But, like, that doesn't explain why then you were there on the ship and suddenly your powers awaken X amount of years later.
That is true. They don't explain.
That bothered the hell out of me in the movie.
Yeah, the aliens awaken them by showing them a cardinal who's supposed to be a representation of the alien force or something. But they wake up Daniel in college and they wake up Margaret 2 days before she's needed. And they never explain why, because it's not like the aliens tell us that there's a connect. The aliens don't tell us shit, and I think that's a major problem. So we have to just glean stuff from what the characters tell us, and the characters tell us certain things in constant detail, dragging the movie down. And then other times they're just like, hey, you'll figure it out. And I'm like, but you're glossing over the shit that I actually wanted to know.
I know. And that really bothered me, because I'm like, I believe that she's there and that happened to her. She said she has repressed memories. And there were some nice little touches when they were in the hospital. The boyfriend says, you have this nightmare about, you know, butterflies. And like the ship in one of the pictures kind of looked like a butterfly when it flew away. And she has butterflies on her wall as a child. Like, they tried to connect a lot of these dots, but that still doesn't explain why the other guy who said nothing happened to him until he was in college is suddenly there with her on the ship when they're 10 years old.
Yeah, no,
it's not even the same age at all, clearly.
It's glossing things over without explaining anything and then being like, well, you'll just make a connection. I didn't make the connection because you didn't give me enough detail in the part that actually mattered to me while over-explaining shit that didn't matter to me at all. Like, they spend 15 minutes showing us crap from Roswell and Nixon showing off the aliens and other things and like the Disclosure Day footage and all that is that as well. Like, none of that actually needed to be shown to us, because all you had to be was like, aliens at Roswell, and we're all like, we've seen TV footage, we know that already, we're good. Like, they've been made fucking fantasy shows about Roswell before. Like, we understand aliens on Earth. Tell us the shit that actually matters to the plot and not just that aliens exist.
I mean, I guess, and that's that whole, I guess, little Spielberg thing at the end, you know, leaving with some questions. They do the same kind of thing at the end of Close Encounters, like, you know, what happens, you know, maybe we'll know, maybe we won't. But, like, that end bothered the shit out of me, because he doesn't belong here. This isn't his story. Maybe he was there because they were flashing back together and she was just trying to calm him down. I don't know.
No, but you're right, because he's put up as a protagonist in the movie, he and Margaret, but Margaret has a journey that she's supposed to go on, even though it only happens in 2 days, but she has like something special. She's a conduit to communicate. Daniel's little more than a glorified FedEx guy for alien tech. Like,
a little bit, yeah.
Like, he could have got the stuff to Margaret and then vanished from the movie and we wouldn't care the slightest about him again. That shows how little Daniel actually matters, despite the fact that he's a co-protagonist in this film.
When Hugo's telling him, like, you know, what their purposes are, what he thinks they are, it's like, you know, Margaret, they gave you the way to communicate us, and Daniel, they gave you the way to communicate with the universe through math. Like, okay, got it.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's better than making him a Hollywood autistic, but still, you're right. It doesn't do much for his character. You're just like, and Daniel, you're also here. Good for you.
Yeah. And we've always suspected you were some kind of way. So the last 8 years of your life mean nothing. And we let you go to prison too back in the day and all this other shit that's happened to you. But, like, I don't know. Yeah. At the end of the day, the plot holes, while there are many.
Gaping.
It's the end of the day. It's still a good Spielberg movie that you can watch on a Saturday for no money while having a few drinks and probably enjoy yourself. Independence Day, it is not. Jurassic Park, not even close, but at least it's not.
It's better than the Mario movies that have come out, but only just barely. I still would not want to watch this again, because there are better Spielberg movies and there are better Alien movies.
Yeah.
So, oh well. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, being taken to an alien ship and given the bad touch. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, gonna go call his lawyer and look for an adult, because now he's worried.
Please don't probe me.
Yeah, really?
We will see you all next time.